Welcome to Uncut, a special edition of the Conversations podcast by Texas Scorecard, where we're sitting down with real candidates running for statewide office and asking them real questions, unfiltered. You can find more at texasscorecard.com. Well, hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us. I'm Brandon Waltons, the managing editor here at Texas Scorecard. And right now we're being joined by Tracy Bradford, a conservative activist and now candidate for Lieutenant Governor. Tracy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So give people who don't maybe know you, don't know your story, a little bit of your background and why you decided to run for Lieutenant Governor.
Okay. Well, I am, first of all, a wife of 33 years and a mother of seven, homeschooled. Still, our 13-year-old still at home, so he's on the trail with us right now a little bit. But I also, what I did for the last almost 20 years has been an activist and a volunteer activist at that. So I was the president of Texas Eagle Forum, started with Dallas Eagle Forum, and then became the president of Texas Eagle Forum. And I don't know if people don't know about Eagle Forum, they were actually one of the first pioneering activist groups who were all volunteer. And so over the years, I've just been going down to Austin, I guess since 2013. Every session, every week, we were down there and working for conservative legislation and pro-life, pro-family, you name it. That's one of the things I really enjoyed about Eagle Forum is we were not a one-issue group. It was all the issues. And I'm pretty much passionate about everything, so that fit well with my personality. So why I'm running, I think after working down there and watching how we're having to beg for basic conservative priorities. And just seeing that happen and then going into this the last two sessions, I will say when the mental health bills passed in 2019, that was kind of the final straw for me to see that we would pass that kind of legislation that has such a huge impact, which actually even set the stage for mandates. And I don't know if people realize what was put in the code by those bills. But to see that we were moving more and more towards large government, to see that we're having to fight for everything that we get, and they're crumbs, basically. After this last session, when they did not really come out and fight for us and what we have asked for, I was actually approached about running and decided it's time to do it.
I think most people, when they look at the legislature, have been following it, generally the thought is that the House is usually the obstacle for conservative legislation. And that the Senate has generally been friendly for the priorities. Is that how you see it?
I think if I was on the outside looking in, I would have said yes. But I think after years of working on legislation, where again, you had to rally thousands and thousands of phone calls to get a hearing for your bills. When you're working on the grid issue, which I actually brought that issue up with Senator Hall, he was sitting in a meeting, and that's when he raised his hand and said, I worked on that issue. That's when we got together and started working on that for 10 years. And you're taking these issues and you're running them through the Senate, but what they do is they either pass it late in the session or they empty the bill out. So you are passing a title without really good, strong legislation. And so it becomes more of a production than actually passing good, strong legislation. And I think we saw some of that with the election integrity this last time.
Well, it's an interesting point. Election integrity, that was the number one priority of the Republican Party of Texas going in. Took a long time to get it done, took overtime in the legislative session into the summer. But finally that bill gets passed. But a lot are criticizing it because it actually reduces some of the penalties. That happened in the House, but I mean, do you think the Senate takes some responsibility for that as well?
Absolutely. And when they said they didn't know it was in there, and then you had Representative Matt Schaefer, who's always been a trustworthy guy as far as when we've dealt with him on the issues, one of the few that voted against the mental health bills, he came out and said they absolutely knew it was in there. So when they passed that and then tried to say, that was almost like, well, we didn't read it, we didn't know. They moved on it because they got hounded by the grassroots.
What else needs to be done, in your estimation, to make Texans confident that their elections are secure?
That's a long list.
Sure.
You know, paper ballots was something that we've talked about. There are so many checks and balances. I think having that chain from the beginning to end, not having the books online. You know, we've heard over and over that people would be at these polling centers working and could get online. And I think we have to go back and adjust, change the penalty back to a felony from a misdemeanor. We need to make sure the voter rolls are being cleared out. The thing that blows my mind is that we didn't start asking for this legislation this time. Mm-hmm. It's been several sessions in the working. And so the fact that we still had to go all the way into special session after all that we saw coming out of the elections, they're still not listening to us. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, there were some improvements, but I'm telling you, there's like a list of about 20 things still to go.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of other legislation that's taken a long time to get through, property taxes. Yeah, property taxes. Texas has one of the highest property mm-hmm. tax burdens in the country. We've had lawmakers say in the past that they have reformed property taxes. They've said they'd go down. Bills ultimately went up. What is your take on what needs to be done to finally fix the property tax burden in Texas?
We were having this conversation last night, and I try to go look at the root. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the root here? It's a spending problem. I mean, I know that seems obvious, but come on. You hear these programs being suggested, but yet we keep spending more and more. And so when I look at property taxes, and it was, you know, there was a bill passed that we can't raise appropriations past population and inflation. And then they were saying, we'll take that excess money mm-hmm. and buy down or pay down the M&O. Well, I don't have the confidence unless you have some mechanism that's going to stop local governments from turning around thinking, well, that was free money. Y'all paid that off, so we'll mm-hmm. keep our taxes and we'll go find to spend it somewhere else. So you're going to have local, something that triggers the local cap. Mm-hmm. Because like you said, we're sixth. I think we're sixth in the nation
something,
with taxes.
Yeah, depending on where you look, yeah.
And until there is I think you're going to have somebody who is willing to make some really hard cuts. Mm-hmm. And the lieutenant governor is part of the legislative board and the budget board. You could set the standard. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to have somebody come in there that is going to cut spending in general across the board and get the tentacles off our old wallets mm-hmm. Before we can even see these programs pass. I had a man last night, he was so upset. He said, yeah, I'm over 65 and got the 65 exemption and I paid more property taxes than I ever have. Mm-hmm. So none of these programs or gimmicks are working.
Mm-hmm. And do you think we'd ever get to a place in Texas where we could abolish property taxes?
I think we should, absolutely. Why am I renting my property? Mm-hmm. You know something else I'd add on this?
Yeah.
If we want to look toward the future, we've got to think about what they're teaching our children. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you know, but in school, they're teaching them property ownership is a bad thing. Mm-hmm. So we need to make sure that we are actually educating our kids on these liberties that we hold as valuable. Mm-hmm. We want election integrity because we want to be able to pass this on. But if our kids don't even understand these principles, it's not going to matter.
Mm-hmm. Also being taught in schools that's gained a lot of attention has been critical race theory, mm-hmm. social emotional learning, a lot of these problematic curriculum. And the legislature says they fixed it. They passed two bills. Kind of remains to be seen whether or not those will ultimately be effective now that they're enacted. Do you think the legislature did enough? And if not, what else needs to happen?
No. And we've been begging and asking for them to correct the social emotional learning for 10 years now. Mm-hmm. And that actually was a vehicle to put critical race theory on top of. And there's actually some analysis being done right now in the school districts of what you have with all of this social emotional learning versus math, science, reading, history, you know, of those points that children would need to know of the 16, mm-hmm. 12 are based in social emotional learning. This is how we're approaching our children. Mm-hmm. The critical race bills, actually they were supporting one that was connected to iCivics, which is a horrible. You can go look at the iCivics programs and they look fine, but when you start digging in, they only support the left. When you pull up one of the pages, it talks about the insurrection on the 6th, mm-hmm. yet we had our people supporting that and supporting that bill. So again, you had to have people go fight. Mm-hmm. Dan Patrick was pushing that bill. And in the end, we still, yes, they're not supposed to be teaching it, but we've already seen Austin ISD has been teaching it. A lot of these schools are teaching it because there's no repercussion for doing it. Mm-hmm. And the one problem we see, you know, it's like the training manuals now for the reading, it talks in there that that's when you can introduce bias. Mm-hmm. Well, bias is one of the very basic foundations of critical race theory. So what we're teaching our children is to be divided on and every aspect instead of teaching them back to science, reading, mm-hmm. writing, math.
Another issue that was a Republican Party of Texas priority that didn't make it across the finish line this year was a ban on gender mutilation surgery in minors. Bills had passed the Senate. The House was pretty firmly against it, with Speaker Dade Phelan saying he was against it.
He said he will not pass
it. Is there more that you think that the lieutenant governor could do to try to push that legislation across the finish line?
That's a good question. They should have done it in 2017 when we brought them the model legislation, and we also had the people who wrote it willing to come here on their own dime and testify and help. And they wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. The only time they decided to actually deal with it was when it became national news. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I reached out to everybody and said, mm-mm, don't you dare. Because you actually would not. They told us to our face, we can't touch this. It's too controversial. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I think the lieutenant governor needs to make that a priority that goes through right away and do everything that he can. I find it hard to believe that there's no influence he would have in the House, because they seem to have influence when they need influence. Mm-hmm. And I do know that the House Speaker has said he will not pass that. That's not good enough. That is a Republican priority, and the lieutenant governor has to do everything within his power to make sure that is passed. And no more watering it down. There's good, solid legislation that has been there now since 2017 that they could use and just, I mean, hold the line. Mm-hmm. These kids, the fact that we cannot protect our children, whether it's about critical race theory or gender mutilization, for Pete's sake, they don't have a voice. We do. Mm-hmm. And I'm tired of watching them play around with this. The mandates, no one's talking about what all this is doing to the children in school when they can't even read social cues, because they're masked up. Mm-hmm. And if we don't think that the governor and the lieutenant governor and the speaker didn't know in 2020 all of this was coming, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. Our congressman knew. They were talking about it. And they've done nothing. They didn't come into 2021 and come in fighting against any kind of mandate. Mm-hmm. They just blew it off until it became an issue and people are suffering from it.
You mentioned mandates. Executive overreach, reigning in that authority is something that the legislature, again, did not address this session. We're now in almost 2 years of being under a declared disaster, declared state of emergency over the coronavirus. What needs to be done to rein this in?
Well, you know, if you look at the legislation that was up, HB3, which basically was codifying everything Abbott did, and it was not a bill that stood up for the non-essential workers or, you know, the parents trying to get their kids back into school or not having to wear a mask or now we have the vaccine mandate.
Sure.
There's got to be a constitutional amendment. I think you can't go with just legislation, because one of the things we've learned is you may pass a fairly decent bill, but it then goes to the agency and the protocols are figured out of how that bill is applied. Mm-hmm. And it sometimes won't even look like what you started with. And when you've got somebody who has lived in overreach, there's not been the checks and the balance of power, you're going to have to put something in the Constitution that clamps down on this runaway executive orders. And we did have some good legislation, but it really didn't move at all. So that doesn't help. And when you know, when they were trying to push HB3, and you actually have those pieces in there where they're talking about, you know, we can move you out of your home if there's a hot spot, and I'm like, nah, that certainly isn't in there. No, I printed it. It was in there. Mm-hmm. And this is what their idea of protecting and fighting for the citizens after everything we've gone through? No.
Another issue that got a lot of attention this session was the passage of the Heartbeat Act. Makes abortion illegal when a heartbeat's detected, usually around 6 weeks or so. Is there more that the legislature can do to protect life?
We need to abolish abortion. I'm a mother, seven children. I've seen heartbeat. For me, I had complications with every pregnancy, so I was seeing this heartbeat from the very beginning all the way through. And it's a life, and it needs to be protected, period.
Another big issue right now, especially over the last year, has been the crisis at the southern border. You've got an influx of illegal crossings, especially here in Texas. What, if anything, can the state do to push back against this? Obviously, a lot of this stems from the Biden administration, but it's Texas that's ultimately paying the cost right now.
It is Texas, and Texas has had the opportunity to take care of this years before Biden got in office. Mm-hmm. There are a number of things we can do, and I would dare to say we are not just seeing people come over the border, we are being invaded. Mm-hmm. And why not? First of all, there's been an interstate compact that was given to the governor in the back in 2011, I believe, where mm-hmm. we could actually work with other states when the federal government won't protect us, that we could make a pact with Arizona, New Mexico, the other border states to do that. That has never moved. Mm-hmm. I think Senator Bob Hall files it every year. There is actually land. When we were down there watching them help people cross, they were literally helping them cross, the National mm-hmm. Guard lifting the fence and helping them come in, break the law. We're watching it. We're filming it. Mm-hmm. There's land that we've ceded already that they just come right in, saunter in. Why would we not be patrolling that and deterring them coming across? I think you need to get rid of the NGOs. You need to take the license because they are actually now bringing them in, putting them on buses, putting them on airplanes, and flying them to other states and say, oh, check in when you get to your final destination. Seriously? Mm-hmm. I think we declare the cartels terrorists. Mm-hmm. They're right there. They're right on the border. And we are actually aiding and abetting the lawbreakers by letting them in. I don't know if people realize the executive order talked about trespassing. Mm-hmm. They actually were down there and they had a guy come across. And when he saw people standing there, he didn't come up on the public land. He jumped the fence. So he was in trespassing. So then they had to arrest him. Otherwise, uh-huh. they would have just brought him in.
Wow.
So, well, yeah.
Yeah. Why do you think, you know, based on you've been following what happens in the Texas legislature a long time, why do you think it is that so often people go, they get elected, and then they don't really follow up on their campaign promises? What do you think happens when people enter that building?
I think there's a lack of accountability. Mm-hmm. I think they start with it. And as time goes on, I think that those people that are trying to hold them accountable become a nuisance mm-hmm. or become the problem, and they become part of something else, and they want to stay that part. Mm-hmm. And to do that, you have to start shaving off those voices that hold you to a standard that sometimes can be very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. It may be very uncomfortable to be the few people that say, we need to declare the National Guard, the Texas Guard, you're going to go down there, you're going to stand on the border, and you're going to protect the border. We're not going to allow people through. You would have people saying, well, you know, that's overreacting. I mean, if you've watched a lot of our guys that are on the conservative side, by the third session, mm-hmm. they have gravitated away where they don't want to hear what we have to say. Mm-hmm. And I think that shows in the fact that it is us that go and vote mm-hmm. at the convention. We set up the platform. We work on those planks, and we work on those priorities, and it's submitted to them. It's a done deal. Here it is. And these are not things that come from some outer space. These are mm-hmm. basic conservative principles. So you're given a template, a mandate, if you will. Mm-hmm. Hey, if you don't mind these other mandates, why not follow this one?
Right.
You know, you're being handed the list of what the voters want, and they're not outrageous. Mm-hmm. To protect life, to end abortion, to get rid of property taxes, to start down that path, truly start down that path, mm-hmm. to protect our borders. What on those priorities is not part of either the Constitution or basic conservative principles?
Mm-hmm. And yet, so often we see lawmakers disregard them mm-hmm. entirely. Before we have to wrap up here, I want to ask just real quick about the campaign. You're one of several people challenging Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. Patrick obviously has a big war chest. Mm-hmm. He's got the Trump endorsement. What's your plan over the next over the next several weeks before the election?
Well, we are going to be on the road every single day, and we have been. But between now and the 1st of March, we are somewhere across the state. Mm-hmm. Every single day, and we're meeting people, and we specifically chose to reach out to people who have never been involved. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, it has been very encouraging to me at meeting these people who see and know something's wrong. They're not part of the political scene, but they know. They know what's happening in this state is not okay. They're angry, and they want a change. Mm-hmm. And they're actually gathering their friends. I'm laughing because we'll go somewhere, and they'll go, where are you going next? Because we know people. Mm-hmm. And so we've just really been building on, you know, remember the they tell two friends and so on and so on.
Right.
We don't have the $20-something million. That wasn't going to happen. We got in kind of late. But it's really been an incredible time to me to get to travel this state and meet these people who just love their state, love their country, love their families, and want to do whatever they can to save that.
Mm-hmm. And if people want to follow your campaign or maybe get involved, where can they do that?
Well, they can go to our website, and thanks to my dad for my interesting spelling of my name. It's T-R-A-Y-C-E, so Tracy for Texas, number four, so tracyfortexas.com, and same name, we're on the social media platforms under the Tracy for Texas.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Uncut, a special edition of Conversations with Texas Scorecard. You can also go to texasscorecard.com to get more journalism and stories just like this. If you like today's episode, please rate and review this podcast on whatever podcasting platform you listen on.